I love this time of the year in the National Football League. Playoff races always get wild. That's why they call it the wild card playoff races. You got four teams tied for the final spot in the AFC. You got the Vikings half game ahead of three other teams in the NFC and one game ahead of the Packers, who somehow aren't completely out of this thing yet. That's pretty amazing to me. As we told you, Nate Davis of USA Today Sports coming on in to talk to us about it. Nate, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good, Seth. How you doing?
I'm good. Help me sort this out. Let's start in the NFC first, since we're here in New Orleans. Let's talk about these wild card races first. You got the Vikings. They just, I cannot believe a team that right now is in the playoffs has just fired their offensive coordinator with that half game lead on those other three teams I just mentioned. What do you make of this, Nate?
Well, I mean, obviously they wanted to shake it up, and they did not look like a playoff team last night. You know, an offense that can't stay on the field, a defense that can't get off of it, and clearly, you know, Mike Zimmer's looking for some more complimentary offense there, and we'll see what happens. You know, but I mean, I think if this team's going to do anything, maybe this is the move that helps them, but. What a disappointment they've been overall this year.
So can I make the argument, though, that I could take maybe 30 teams? Heck, maybe I could take every team in the NFL, and if I make them go play at New England and at Seattle in back-to-back weeks, that they're going to come out of that 0-2, and then should everybody be firing their offensive coordinator after those two games? I mean, it seems a little crazy to me, Nate.
Yeah, you know, I think Mike Zimmer just wants – more of a running game, and I mean, I don't really. The thing to me is like, why you would have known that I think this is the way John DeFilippo was going to call games in the first place, and you did pay, you know, $84 million for a quarterback, and you've got a solid tight end and two Pro Bowl caliber receivers, but I think probably Mike Zimmer also knows that they're not probably going to get anywhere in January if they can't balance the offense, run the ball a little bit, and. You know, maybe some of this is personnel issues. You know, I don't think Dalvin Cook doesn't look like he's all the way back to me, but I'm not really sure why they're not playing Latavius Murray more either. So, you know, I think in some ways John DeFilippo is the fall guy for this whole thing, but it just doesn't seem like this team is balanced the right way right now. And, you know, Mike Zimmer's making a call.
Yeah, I could be doing a whole hour on that subject if I was doing national radio. I think it's fascinating. So if it's not the Vikings here, and it sounds like you're kind of bearish on the Vikes here to make the playoffs, who is it? Is it Philly still? I know they got that game against the Rams this week. Is it Carolina? Is it Green Bay coming back now with Joe Philbin as their head coach?
I mean, I'm bearish on the Vikings, but I mean, nobody in the end. I mean, here's the thing with the NFC is the whole bracket to me is pretty top heavy. I mean, that game last night didn't look like a game between two playoff teams to me, even though it probably is a game that had two playoff teams in it. But, you know, all the we started the weekend with three teams in the NFC, 6-6, with shots to make that wild card. And we ended the week with all those teams 6-7. And so I'm not any higher on the Panthers, the Eagles, or certainly the Redskins to overtake the Vikings. And, you know, the Packers – yeah, the Packers lost to a team they shouldn't have lost to 2 weeks ago, and they beat a team that they should beat in Atlanta. But I don't think that means that they're necessarily healthy. And, you know, given the way we see the Bears defense playing, I don't like the Packers to beat the Bears this week. So, you know, barring a miraculous turnaround by somebody that's hard to foresee right now, and it's going to take a bit of a collapse, too, by the Vikings, I think this NFC field to me looks like it's pretty locked in with the six teams, and it's just a matter of how the seeds fall at this point.
Yeah, so at the top, it's the Saints right now reclaiming that one spot after the Rams' poor showing, just getting beat down on Sunday night. Handicap the top of this for me. Who's the biggest challenger for the Saints? I kind of think it's the Bears and maybe even Dallas here. Would you still say the Rams, their biggest competition right now in the NFC?
I probably would, just because they can go toe-to-toe with them offensively, and if memory serves, Aqib Talib was not in that first game with the Saints and the Rams, and I think that changes the equation a bit. In fact, I'm pretty sure he was not in that game at the Superdome, so I think that makes the Rams defense a little bit better. You know, I have to go back and check my facts again too, but I don't think they had Dante Fowler quite for that game either. So I mean, I think that Rams defense is going to be a little bit different than what the Saints saw the first time. I think I would probably be more willing to kind of co-sign that the Bears could upset them if the game was going to be in Chicago. But it's not going to be. And, you know, I guess same thing with Dallas. You know, that was, to me, kind of a bit of an off night for the Saints. You know, you generally don't see Drew Brees play as poorly as he did that night. But since this thing looks like it's going to run through New Orleans right now, and even if it winds up being the Saints and the Rams in L.A., I'm pretty high on the Saints at this point. And given that I think, you know, again, I don't think they're going to see a team like the Bears or the Cowboys on the road for the playoffs. I think they're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I think so, too. Nate, can you hold on through the 60-second break here and come back and talk AFC and MVP race with us?
Yeah, you bet.
All right, so hold on, Nate. Nate Davis, NFL writer and editor for USA Today Sports. He's on Twitter at @ByNateDavis. Just a reminder, tomorrow on Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert and Deuce McAllister, live from the Beau Rivage Resort and Casino, it'll be QB to QB with Drew Brees at 4:40 p.m. tomorrow. They're doing it early because of the Monday night game, so 4:40 p.m. Drew will be on here on the station. 60-second break, back with Nate Davis here, talking playoff race and also MVP race. All right, welcome back. We're talking with Nate Davis, NFL writer and editor for USA Today Sports, at @ByNateDavis on Twitter. We just got done talking about the NFC playoff race. And Nate, let's go over to the AFC. And this is really wild here. You've got four teams tied at 7-6 for that last spot. There's still some whispers that, hey, could Cleveland run the table and get in at 8-7-1? I don't know about that. But how are you handicapping that at race for that final playoff spot, Nate?
Yeah, you know, I think the Titans, to me, look like the best bet right now, just because I think their schedule is the most inviting. And, you know, I think they also figured out at the right time that Derrick Henry's on their team after forgetting that for most of the season. So I kind of would give it to them. But, you know, then again, a week ago, I thought it was going to be Denver, given how well they were playing. And that they also seemed to have a favorable schedule. But then they laid the egg in San Francisco. And obviously, the Emmanuel Sanders injury came at the worst possible time, but I think I would go with Tennessee right now. And but I also think that maybe two of these teams are in play, because I think the Steelers are in serious trouble with the Patriots and the Saints the next 2 weeks, and I think the Ravens have a real solid chance to jump up and take that AFC North berth, and that might open up you know, More craziness down there at the bottom.
Yeah, that would be just crazy. And I was kind of looking at the playoff machines and stuff, and I was thinking, well, the one way that Cleveland's going to get in is if all of a sudden Pittsburgh falls apart and Cleveland wins out. They could win that division at 8-7-1. Who knows there? Baker mania, I suppose. At the top of that conference, I guess it is Kansas City that's kind of running away with that one seed. And I believe even if they lose to the Chargers this week because of the tiebreaker there in the AFC West, that they would still control their own destiny in the AFC West. So is it the Chiefs and then everybody else right now in the AFC?
I guess so. I mean, it seems to be, in terms of if we're talking about top seed, you know, the Chiefs certainly have the inside track on that. And then we're certainly helped by New England losing to the Dolphins last week, since the Patriots did have the head-to-head tiebreaker over Kansas City. But yeah, that being said, I've been kind of telling people to kind of pump the brakes a little bit on the Chiefs. I mean, number one being obviously the offense is not the same without Kareem Hunt, I don't think. But, you know, number two, everyone likes to just spout out and say, you know, nobody wants to go play at Arrowhead in January. And I don't think anyone really thinks about that when they say it. And I have to remind them, you know, the Chiefs have lost six consecutive games at Arrowhead in January.
Yep.
They have not won there since Joe Montana was their quarterback. So that tells you something. You know, and obviously that's a lot of teams, a lot of different players, a lot of different coaches. But you know, you are also talking about a young quarterback who's going to be playing, you know, starting his first playoff game. And you know, things sometimes don't go the way you expect them under those circumstances. But let's even if the Chiefs get that top seed, let's not pencil them in for a Super Bowl trip.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Nate. I've been telling people here they're kind of the anti-Seattle in the playoffs. Seattle hasn't lost a home playoff game in 15 years, and Kansas City hasn't won one in 25 years. So it's really, really weird. MVP race, since we're talking about Kansas City there, I have moved here to the ire of probably most people listening. I've moved Patrick Mahomes ahead of Drew Brees. I still don't think it's over. I still think that if the Saints lock down the one seed and the Chiefs have some stumbles here, that Drew could win that award. Are you with me there? Do you think Aaron Donald has any chance for this?
Yeah, I think what I've learned, Seth, is you and I are generally seem to be in lockstep on these matters. It would be fun if Aaron Donald, you know, could, if he gets the sack record – You know, particularly after going, I want to say he was sackless his first three games, but he's now kind of still kind of on that pace for around the 22 range. If he broke Strahan's record, I think that would probably help him get consideration, but I still think he's your dark horse. But you know, in terms of making it Mahomes versus Breeze, I tend to agree with you. You know, I would love for Breeze to win it just because, you know, it's amazing to me, given all he's accomplished over the years, that he's never won league MVP honors. He, of course, has the Super Bowl MVP, but I'd love to see him get it. But I think, you know, he's kind of played his two worst games of the season the last 2 weeks here. Everyone kind of saw the poor performance in Dallas on the national stage. And then I think Mahomes, you know, as much as it hurts the Chiefs to lose to Kareem Hunt, I think that's going to maybe wind up helping him in terms of MVP if you know, he's able to kind of hold that offense together down the stretch. And, you know, there's even more, really more burden on his right shoulder now. That could wind up helping him from an individual standpoint. And obviously, he's certainly going to have the numbers at the end.
I've got to ask you one more thing, because this is our crack research team of, well, me, before the show. I just got to ask, have you ever heard anything like this? And feel free to use this wherever you want, Nate. The Houston Texans, now that Philadelphia's lost, they're going to play Philadelphia next week. They're guaranteed to go the entire 2018 regular season, 16 teams, 16 weeks, well, 17 weeks. And they will never play a team with a winning record when they play them. 16 times they played, and every time it's been teams at or below 500. Have you ever heard anything like that before? I think it's one of the weird stats that I've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I certainly would defer to you on the research there, but that's it probably speaks to the fact too why it doesn't seem like anybody wants to take the Texans all that seriously as contenders, despite as well as they played and recovered from that start. But yeah, I mean, that is kind of what it gets down to. It doesn't really feel like they played anybody, and you know, per your research, I guess they haven't.
Yeah, well, I was wondering if you ever heard anything like that before. I was thinking, well, maybe Nate's heard of something similar before, so I'd check with him since he had on the program. Nate Davis, NFL writer and editor for USA Today Sports. Really appreciate it, man. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, quickest. I think the most similar thing I've heard, I think the Miami Dolphins 72 had played like 1-8-6 team, and the rest of them were terrible. So there's your counter.
Hey, so there you go. The Texans got a shot here. That's what you're saying. The Texans
could
have a shot.
Be. Got a shot.
All right.
Have a good one,
Seth. All right, Nate. Thanks you so much. Let's squeeze in one quick call here. Greg in Mississippi. What's going on, Greg?
Again, Seth, enjoy your show, but I got to disagree with you. I think the Chiefs have to be ahead of the Saints as far as the number one in the power rankings.
Okay. All right. Tell me why.
Only two losses by three would each to the Rams and Patriots. I know the Saints, if they get Carolina 6-1 road record or 7-1 is nothing to sneeze at. But I think if you look at the overall, I think the Chiefs have been a little bit more consistent. That Dallas loss and even an underwhelming win over Tampa Bay, I wouldn't see that. Okay, you want to pass the Rams, okay. And the Rams had their one really bad clunker. I mean, they lost to the Saints, but what, it was 10 points on the road. Mm-hmm. I get that, but I think the Chiefs a little bit better and played a little bit better schedule. If they beat the Chargers, they would have swept probably. You could argue the second number one team in the AFC. And they've done, you know, other than the Patriots, is a game that they probably should have won. And I agree with you, Mahomes over Breeze for MVP, because I think he's been a little bit more consistent than Breeze has. Just slightly disagree with you.
Yeah, no,
thank you. The facts. I enjoy your show, man.
All right, thanks, Greg. And I'll tell you this: if somebody has the Chiefs at one and the Saints two, I'm not going to really pick at you or disagree with you too much. I think you can kind of flip flop those teams up at the top of your power rankings list. Thanks for the call. We're coming back. We're talking some Pelicans with Ollie Cosell of the Bird Rights, and boy, this will be a sobering conversation. Coming back with that, I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap on WWL.